Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
Okay. All right, let me tell you what just happened on my way here. Dre's in the studio.
What up?
I don't like to say black Dre. I'm done. You're I'm done that? Saying that. I'm Thank done. You. People know you're black by your voice.
I'm grateful that you're done with that.
You promise?
Man.
Is it annoying you?
It was going on for a long time.
It is going for a long time.
Yeah.
You know I can do Dre's voice.
Yeah, man. You Chris, can do any voice.
Yeah, man. I can do anyone's voice. Is that good, Kalen? Kalen's behind the board.
Well, was that Chris you were doing?
Well, let's hear it.
Was that Chris you were doing? it's unstoppable. I'm unstoppable.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Was that?
That was Sean Connery. I was just doing Sean Connery.
Yeah. I was like, that wasn't close.
Can I tell you what happened, Dre, today?
All right.
Okay. Kalen's on the boards today. Nick is late. He probably got drunk last night, crashed his car.
Probably.
It probably wasn't
his
car.
Oh, my God.
Chris, hey, Kalen said probably. Come on, Chris. It's just a joke.
Kalen
big deal.
His shoulders.
Okay, Chris, get this. Dre, so I go into Coffee Bean, and, you know, I go there all the time. It's to the point where, you know, Dre.
Yeah.
They when I go there to order, they already make it for me. Right. Like when I walk through the door, they're already making my drink. Like they know it, right? Credit card declines for $4.
That sucks.
Ugh.
$4 my credit card declines.
Oh no.
Here's my thing with credit cards and the whole banking system, okay? Wells Fargo, I've been with you for like 20 years.
Right.
Like I was with you guys back when it was called First Interstate Bank. And then all of a sudden, Wells Fargo took over. Like, that's Dang. How old my account has been there. It's been there forever.
I forgot about First Interstate.
You remember that?
Yeah.
FIB.
Okay.
And it was just like, bro, you know me. Like, there's no kind of like, what can I say? An algorithm? No, that's not an algorithm. Like, some kind of history or some data that shows consistency.
That you're good for four?
You're good for four. Like, hey, man, he's good for $4. We got you, Joe Coy. I mean, you only have two businesses running and operating with our company.
Right.
You average this much annual income a year.
Right.
You paid off these loans here. You have a house loan that was paid off.
Yeah.
We're going to decline you $4 on your coffee today.
Yeah, they know your order. Like, you go in there so
bro,
much.
Bro, it was so embarrassing. I had to turn around because I was going to – I told them I'm going to the car to get cash. I never carry cash.
You drove away?
You just drove away.
I drove away in my Tesla. It was so embarrassing, bro.
They didn't even hear it though, right?
No, they didn't hear me leave.
Yeah.
Can
I was
you
like
imagine
a ninja.
Because they know you, can you imagine the rumor that's going around?
Oh, they're all talking about it. I bet you he can't wait for that special to drop because he needs help.
He split.
He's done. Hey, last time Joe Coy came in here, we had to like pass a hat around to pay for his coffee. I guess the jokes aren't paying. Yeah, it was crazy
because
he only wanted a small anyway. He wanted a kid's. He wanted a kid's coffee. It's only $2.25, and his card declined fast.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it declined fast.
It was a quick decline.
It was a quick decline. Oh, and you want to hear the funny part?
You didn't even get to put the chip in, right?
No. 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 In fact, two hands came out of the slot and pushed my card back. Like, we know that card.
No, thank you.
No, thank you, sir. Get this. Dre, I'm a good tipper.
Yeah.
You know that,
yeah.
Right? And now Coffee Bean has the tip option where it goes 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, 25%. 25% of $4 is a dollar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not leaving a dollar for these people. They know who I am. So they always have this option that says other, and I press other. And I always impress them with $5.
Oh, you have to press more than one button then. Yeah, you have to actually enter the amount.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, it's
extra
work.
So I pressed other. And I always put like a 5 or a 10 spot. You know what I mean? Just to let that's why my drink is ready for me when I walk over there.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yo. I typed in 5. I typed in 5. So it declined not only for 4, it declined for the tip too. This is embarrassing.
Big spender.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know what would have been more embarrassing if you tried to roll back the tip like – Yo, can I just only tip 2 and see see if it goes through?
Bro, you know they said let's try it again? Oh. They go, let's try it again, Joe. Oh, all right. And it didn't go through again.
How many people were in line behind you?
Everyone. Okay. Everyone did copy me. Now, here's the cool thing. They gave me the coffee.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, right?
Yeah.
Still embarrassing. Still embarrassing.
You don't want their pity coffee?
No, I don't want your pity coffee. I ran to that car, though. I think I got in the car.
And you drove off?
No, I drove off.
The free coffee.
With free coffee.
Things like that ever happen to you? Kalen worked at the Coffee Bean.
Did you work at Coffee Bean?
Yeah, that happened all the time.
Yeah, see?
It's embarrassing. Yeah, but some of those people, when you look at them, you go, I knew that was going to decline when you pulled it out of that Velcro wallet. your OP wallet. Your Ocean Pacific wallet. Remember Ocean Pacific? OP?
Oh, OP? Yeah, man.
Hey, I knew that was going to decline when you pulled out your Hang 10 Velcro wallet. Hey, you're 46 years old and you pulled out your Vans checkerboard Velcro wallet.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure your credit union debit card's not going to go through. That's mean. I shouldn't talk like that. That's not cool. But I know you did.
Yeah.
Behind the counter, what's that called when you look at somebody, you kind of just already assume what they are?
Profiler?
Yes.
Yeah, profile.
You should know that.
I know that word.
You know that word.
I know that word very well.
Yeah, that's
yes.
I do. That's a favorite word in the black dictionary. Profiler.
Oh, he knows profile, yeah.
It's like axe and profiler. You know who else says axe? My dad. And he's the whitest person on earth.
He does say that.
He says axe.
He does say
that. He also says breakfix.
Breakfix.
And I want to kill him every time he says it. You want breakfix? I'm like, no. First of all, we're not fixing anything broken right now. I want eggs and bacon.
Right.
My dad's a trip.
He's a fun guy.
He's the white of white. He is the whitest man you'll ever meet.
You know, the oddest looking couple is he and I in Hermosa Beach.
Oh.
Going to get what's that called? The ice cream? Not ice cream, but
gelato.
The gelato together. Yeah, that was.
You and him got gelato. That's embarrassing.
I know people thought it was like,
and they served it in the small Dixie cups.
They probably thought it was like human trafficking,
little baby
human
spoons.
Trafficking or something.
Yes, yes, like, it was.
Like he was gonna steal my organs later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, so Andre calls you by your full name. Hey, Andre. Try this lemon ice gelato. I think you'll like it. And then next thing you know, 5 minutes later, I don't feel good. Jack, what's going on? For some reason, I just don't feel good. This is weird. Yeah, just go to sleep, Dre. I'm going to take you to the car real quick. It's only going to hurt a little bit. You're going to wake up in a bathtub of ice.
Gonna be fine.
Do you think that shit really happens?
He doesn't want my kidney though.
No,
my liver. My liver's really bad, by the way.
Black organs. Do not take. If you had to pick out of a black man's body a certain organ, heart. I'll take the heart because they got a lot.
That's
of
a good heart.
They got a lot of heart.
That's a fine heart.
That's a lot of heart. You ever see Evander Holyfield fight? That's heart. Heart.
Oh yeah.
Riddick Bowe. Killed that man.
Yeah.
With his heart, came back and won.
Yeah.
Black man. Take a black man's heart.
He got his ear bitten off.
I gave one other buddy.
Yo, Holyfield got his ear bitten off twice. Both ears.
Still fought.
And then looked at the ref, shrugged, and went, all right, let's keep going.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's heart. If I had to choose an organ from a black man, I want Evander Holyfield's heart.
How do you hang out with Mike Tyson after he does that to you? Like, how do you guys have casual conversation after that?
Okay, you pretend you're Mike Tyson and I'm Holyfield. Ask me a question.
I do a bad Mike Tyson.
It doesn't matter. Just ask me a question. I'll be Holyfield. Go.
Hey, Evander. What's going on?
I can't hear you. What? I'm sorry. I haven't heard it. I haven't been able to hear anything since the fight. Our fight last. One more time. What? So one more time. What?
Hey, Evander. What's going on?
Nothing. There's nothing. I can't hear anything.
Come on, that was years ago.
What? I can't hear anything. You know, I sat next to Evander Holyfield.
Yeah,
I was at the Pacquiao fight with my son, and we were like row 20 from the ring, and my son and I were like, "Yo, these are great seats." This is the fight. Well, it was marketed as the fight of the century. It was the Mayweather
Pacquiao
fight. And it turned out to be the bust of the century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joe and I are sitting down, right? And Joe's already like, I can't believe how close we are. These are amazing, Dad, blah, blah, blah. And then here comes Evander Holyfield and sits right next to us.
What?
Like his knee is touching my knee.
That's crazy.
And I'm just like, I didn't want to say anything.
What side?
Huh?
What side was he on?
He was on my right side. He was in the aisle.
So you had the ear side?
He got both ears bitten.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. By the way, he didn't hear anything I said to him. But, you know, he was so nice to my son.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's cool when guys like that see, like, the kids.
Joe met Evander and Tyson.
And Tyson. He met Tyson, too.
What a lie.
And Tyson's kind of a rough guy to approach. You know what I mean? I approached him one time, and you could tell there's a little reluctance in his face. But when you finally pull your hand out, he's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool with it. Yeah. But Evander was really cool. Yeah. He shook his hand. And like, they love the kids, man. Yeah. It's the adults they can't stand. Right. They want to kill all the adults.
Yeah, adults suck.
Yeah, they don't want – they're boxers, man. They're headhunters.
Yeah.
All they do is hunt the head
right.
and smack it as hard as they can.
Yeah, if you shake their hand, if you meet them as an adult, they already thought about 10 ways of how they'd knock you out.
How quick?
Right.
Yeah.
How quick, huh?
I do this, 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 and this. Oh, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah. Already anticipating a jab.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you go out to shake their hand, they dodge it.
Yeah, they're going to slip it and then counter with a left.
Yeah, I think you're going for the body.
Who's your favorite boxer? Go.
Manny. I mean, that's like who I grew up watching just because I'm, you know.
I had this argument with Michael Yeo. I had this argument with Michael Yeo because Michael Yeo is very uneducated about sports. But he likes to argue because he Googles things. And and he has Instagram. So he thinks that gives him the knowledge. and he was talking about why Mike Tyson was the greatest heavyweight of all time. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, no matter what Mike Tyson did, he never was challenged at that level. He never had a great heavyweight challenge Mike Tyson at that level. He was in jail for 5 years.
Right.
Well, at that level, he fought nobody. So how can you say he's the greatest?
When he was at his peak, you're saying? Yeah.
When he was at his peak, he needed to fight the real fighters.
Right.
And everyone always said, you're dodging Lennox. They always said that. You're dodging Lennox. They're dodging Lennox. And then next thing you know, he took that damn Douglas fight.
Right.
For no reason when he should have fought Holyfield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they couldn't even sell tickets, so they went to Japan.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he's partying, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, he gets knocked out, and then he goes to jail. And then there goes his legacy. It's like all the other cats that were in line to fight you are now fighting each other and having wars. Like, you know what I mean? Like Riddick Bowe and Holyfield and Lennox was king and all these cats. And then he finally comes out of jail, and he gets knocked out by all of them.
Right. His potential. He had the potential to be the greatest.
Hey, man.
His potential was.
Hey, but here's the difference between the greatest of all time and Mike Tyson. Hey, don't get me wrong, dude. What Mike Tyson did for the sport of boxing was amazing. He saved it. He saved it.
Yeah.
He saved the heavyweight division. Like it was like after Ali, there was nothing because Holmes was dead. Like no one wanted to watch Holmes. Like he didn't have the charisma. He didn't have Ali's tongue. He didn't have Ali's swag. Like, no one wanted to watch boxing. And then here comes this fucking beast
from
Brooklyn slaying.
You remember he was fighting 2 fights per month?
Yeah, but he was fighting nobody's, Dre. Like back when I was a kid, because that happened during our time. We were 18 when that happened.
Right.
And in 89, it was impressive to us. But now that when we're older and we see, like, how these promoters strategized his career, you know what I mean? You understand. It's like, he fought 2 fighters, but it's like, he fought.
So that's why he's dominating like, so hard because
don't get me wrong. He was the man.
I don't know.
He knocked me out. What I'm saying is you can't give him that label as greatest of all time when, you know, your first 20 fights were just bleh. You know what I mean? It wasn't like you – here's the difference.
You've got to have that epic fight is what you're saying.
Not only that, but the greatest of all time – the reason why I say Muhammad Ali, and I know it's cliche because everyone says Muhammad Ali, but yeah. this is my theory behind Muhammad Ali. He was the greatest because he came out as a – I think he was a cruiserweight. Or no, he was a light heavyweight in the Olympics. You know what I mean? And then he comes and fights heavyweight and knocks Joe Lewis out.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he just maintains that title for as long as he can. And then he's fighting the top guys every – you know, every fight was every like fight, the top yeah. guy. It was yeah. like – it was like whoever was at the top, he would fight. You right. know what I mean? Then he went to jail.
Right.
And he went to jail for a long time. Not only did he go to jail, he wasn't allowed to fight.
Right.
Like they were like, put the gloves up and don't even lift your hands up. You do that, you're breaking the law. Remember that?
Yeah.
Then he comes out. Frazier is slaying people. Frazier's knocking heads off blocks. And he literally gets in a cab and begs Frazier, please let me just have this fight with you.
Yeah.
He did. You know yeah. that, right? He got in a cab and he begs him. You know what I mean? On camera, he was like, "Yo, you a gorilla, blah, 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 blah." But it was the ball was in his court. Mm-hmm. Like, Frazier was like, "I'm going to fight who I want, and I don't want to fight you because I hate you."
Right.
And then Muhammad Ali took him into a cab and he was like, "Hey, look, please, I need this, man. I'm broke.
Right.
I'm broke. I need this fight."
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And they fought. They fought for 15 rounds, bro. Broke his jaw. Lost the fight, too. That was in Madison Square Garden, I think. He lost that fight. But yeah. after 5 years, he came back and fought Frazier. Lost it 15 rounds. Then he came back and won the second one.
Right.
Frazier, Ali, I think that was Frazier 2. I think that was Thrill in Manila.
Thrill in Manila, yeah. Yeah.
Knocked him out. That's a champion. And then maintained that title well after that.
Yeah, I think he had aspects that went with him though, because of the social aspect and then just his charisma.
Yeah, his charisma and just that, like the weight of the world on his shoulders. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like everyone, you know, this is getting too preachy. This pod, yeah. this is getting too preachy.
I like this. I'm learning because I didn't know this stuff. I'm like Michael, yo,
but that's
I didn't see this on my Instagram.
To me, that's but I don't know why I'm talking. But it was just like what Ali did at that. It was like, because boxing is the ultimate man sport, especially before the UFC came out.
Yeah.
Like, that was the gladiator. Yeah. You know what I mean? And to me, Ali was that gladiator. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mike Tyson, yes, is a gladiator, but it was just like he let a lot of business run. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of business being ran.
You got Don King behind that. Don King was behind both, but.
No, Don King wasn't with Lennox.
No, with Ali.
Yeah.
I'm saying he was with Ali, then he was with. Even yeah. with Tyson as well, yeah. but it just got slimier and slimier.
God, you remember what Ali did to Foreman? Like, what? Are you kidding me?
The rope-a-dope.
Rope-a-dope and just everything. The mind game with him.
Yeah.
Just like, yo, man, that guy was so good, dude. Yeah. He defeated you mentally.
Yeah.
He was so good. And then he danced. You know Bruce Lee. You know Bruce Lee is the reason for mixed martial arts. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He came out with Jeet Kune Do, and he was like, you know, in order to fight, you need to know all of them.
Right.
If fight goes to the ground, you need to learn jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? If you're going to fight a guy that knows how to box, you need to know how to box. And the, stationary, you know, his kung fu is like, you know, normal is like stand still and move, like very, you know, systematic, right? But you notice Bruce Lee was bouncing around on his toes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Muhammad Ali, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got that from Muhammad Ali. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
There you go.
What?
Wow.
He even said, you knew that, didn't you, Dre?
Nah.
What?
Nah.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, Bruce Lee bouncing around. Yeah.
Why do you think Bruce Lee's the greatest? Because that's why these geniuses die young, bro. Because they tapped into something in their brain that no one else tapped into. He's like, for centuries are we standing like little stick figures.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to bounce, man. You need to feel it. You need to move like water.
Yeah. You see like a batter, baseball batter's doing that
look
now.
Look at Bruce Lee hopping around and then look at Muhammad Ali. It's like a complete mimic, man.
I never even thought about that.
He does the same shuffle with his feet when he's – yo.
I never thought about
that. And then you saw – and you remember when he fought
– if I had to fight a guy like that.
You remember when Bruce Lee fought Chuck Norris in that one movie? And Chuck is kind of like
– Yeah.
You know, and Chuck was like that
so
black
stiff.
Belt. Yeah, he was very stiff. And then you remember Bruce was like, ah. And then Chuck. No, this is a real shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was a movie, but Bruce, that was Bruce's, you know, he choreographed that shit. And he was telling a story with that scene. Because he was doing that shit. Remember, he wasn't wearing the gi, the traditional gi, and he was bouncing around. And then Chuck was like, you know, because he was traditional, right. Karate.
Yeah.
I think he's karate. I don't know what he is. But anyways, he's traditional. He's very stiff. Remember, he was like that? And then he started looking at Bruce, and he tried to bounce like him. Do you remember?
Yeah.
That was like a story. That was like no words. I'm telling you guys a story right now. Look what I can do. Like, this is the new martial arts.
Yeah, he's showing you the evolution right there.
He was showing everybody. Yeah, like, everyone always says that, UFC is blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, if it wasn't for UFC, we wouldn't be doing it. Man, yo, he was already doing that shit in, like, 69, 70. He already had it. He already told everybody.
Yeah.
Did you watch Enter the Dragon?
Dude, my Bruce Lee knowledge is very, very I know, man. I'm going to break your
heart
right
on.
Now.
Come on. There's a reason why everyone loves Bruce Lee, man. Like, all that stuff, man. He was beyond ahead of his time. If you watch Enter the Dragon, there's this opening scene where he sits in front of all these, like, they have these masters sitting on the mat. You know the beginning scene where he's wearing the underwear and the boxing gloves.
Yep.
And he's fighting the other dude, the big dude.
Yeah.
And he takes him to the ground and puts him in, like, a crucifix, like an arm bar.
Mm.
He puts him in an arm bar. Like, that's already... Not tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, that was 70, I don't know when. Nick, can you Google Enter the Dragon and just tell me when?
73,
bro.
Dang.
Fool was on the ground doing an arm bar in a movie. If you watch any other kung fu movie, it was straight up kung fu. It was the hands. This fool went to the mat. He went to the mat and had a guy tap out. Like, and no one that went under the radar. It's like the dude was like on some other shit, bro. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's why we got to tap into that other shit. You got to tap into that.
How do I get
shit.
My mind there?
Why do I feel like that shit has stopped, man?
What do you mean?
I don't know, man.
Progress?
I just feel like, not progress. What I'm saying is, like, these cats from those eras, was it because we were limited? We weren't given so much?
Yeah. I think so.
That you literally had to use your brain to be creative?
I think so.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Because you ever notice, like, it's like 50, 60, 70, 80. It's like there's these geniuses that are, like, kind of crazy. You're like, whoa, you thought of what?
Right.
You know what I mean? And I feel like we haven't seen that many. Am I right? I mean, Bill Gates.
I think they're
but Bill
out
Gates
there.
Was
but
80s.
I think they're out there, but it's so easy to get stuff out there. We see so much crap, so it's hard to find the geniuses. But I feel like they're hidden out there.
It's nuts to me. Oh, that's very Nick. You're getting a nice gift. Nick. You're getting a nice gift. But here,
John Gates strong.
That was smooth.
Yeah. It also comes from, like, your economic status.
Yeah,
I feel like these cats come from, like, way below income.
Yeah, you come from nothing. You have to create. It's almost like when you're a kid, you don't have
any
toys.
Yeah,
certain toys. You just create stuff.
Yeah. So do you think, like, coming from money is a disadvantage?
I don't know, because there are cats that come from money and they're geniuses too. I guess, right? Like, yeah, what would be an example?
Yeah.
I can't think of any right now.
Well, I mean, everybody always – they love the rags to riches story or just, like, you know, that having a push. So, you know, if people, like, come from money but then they're still extremely successful, it's just so easy to just think,
Because, you hear these rich to riches stories and you're like
– You're like, okay.
He was so talented and blah, blah, blah. Just like his father. He was blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, but if his father wasn't that guy, I bet you he'd still be singing at a cafe.
Yeah, because he has all the resources.
You have all the resources. Your dad has a lot of connects.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Robin Thicke right now. I'm just going to go indirect. I'm going to go indirect with it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say,
Robin,
like,
Thicke at a cafe. That's what I want to see.
I'm just going to say, like, yo, Robin was dope and all. Like, I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, if his dad was an Alan, Alan was Hollywood, bro.
He'd be at a little bar, a dive bar in Santa Monica right now. And just
like, you know what I mean? Struggling. No?
It definitely helped.
I think it beyond help because you're talking about a kid in the studio. Dad knows all the execs at NBC. I'm pretty sure you put out a single. I'll make sure you get a late night set.
Or even if you're just trying to develop his skills, you know.
I wouldn't discount that they're talented. I would just say that
they're talented. But there's a million talented cats.
Yeah,
I could get. Yo, and I'm going to sound like a jerk right now. I don't want to sound like a jerk. Like, I'm just saying it's like, because I like Robin Thicke. I bought your album, Robin. Don't get mad. I'm just saying it's like maybe the opportunity was easier for you.
I got an example. If you ask most entertainers, like, how did you get success? How do you attain success?
Yeah.
Right? They'll tell you, you got to work on your craft. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. No. That's how you got good at what you did.
Yeah.
How did you get successful?
How'd you get successful?
There was a connect there.
There is a difference.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how you got good.
There's phenomenal musicians.
How did you get beyond phenomenal?
That are unknown.
Yeah, you'll never hear of them.
Never.
You know what I mean?
Look, I don't even... Never.
You know what I mean?
Look, I don't even like, and I'm going to give these girls a plug. I don't even like country music, okay? I'm going to say it out loud. Okay. All right? But when I'm in Nashville, I love going to the honky-tonk bars, and I love watching these cats go up there, and they crush talented musicians.
Right.
And there's millions of them out there, and they're just trying to get a deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, I fall in love. I'm like, yo, this guy is amazing. Yo, that chick's got a voice. Yo, that dude can play the guitar. Like, yo, there's a... I'll never listen to it in my car,
right.
But in this bar right now, that dude is slaying.
Right.
You know what I mean? And okay, so I'm in the airport and I landed in Nashville, right? And they got like, everyone's performing in Nashville. It's like old school Hollywood, like, you know, back in the day where everyone was moving to New York and Hollywood to just make it in any form of entertainment. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And it was just popping. You know, there was matinees and everything, and there's lines out the door for everything to see all these. You know, it's kind of lost that now. You know, it's not like, well, not kind of lost. It's gone now. That whole era is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But not Nashville. Nashville, it's still thriving out there. Yeah. You got cats performing at a Chili's inside the damn airport.
Right.
And it's like, and it's real.
It'll blow your mind.
No, it's real, bro. He comes with his full kit.
Right.
He's got his mini stage. He's got his big amplifiers and he's crushing.
They take their music seriously out
there.
Oh,
yeah. Bro.
And
I'm telling you, that Chili's gig in the airport is big to them.
It's popping.
Because he's probably saying to himself, you know how many execs are flying in right now? That are here to see another client,
right.
I'm a winner right here at Chili's.
Right.
And they're crushing, bro. So anyways, can you Google Gin Sisters? So I'm coming out of the airplane, right? And I see these two sisters. Well, first of all, I just heard them singing. And I'm just like, damn, they're harmonizing. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
Then I noticed it was a small group of people.
This is in the airport.
This is in the airport. This wasn't even in a restaurant.
You'd even make it to the Chili's.
Bro. And I wanted baby back ribs. And I see these two girls, and they're like by the, they're at like a gate. They're at a gate like for people to board. And they're performing for these people getting ready to board. You found it? They're performing for these people boarding.
That's crazy.
It's just up against the wall. They got their speakers and everything. And these people are like, they could have formed a line in front of them and just be rude.
Yeah.
But they formed like a semicircle. And to the point where I was like, oh, I'll stand and watch too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched like two songs. I was like, yo, these girls are dope.
Can you imagine how fast TSA would be on you if you did that at LAX?
Right? No, I think they gave them that spot. Dang. That's how it is in Nashville. They give them spots like that. Wow. It was a like, I think the airline was like, yeah, please play music for our customers getting ready to board. And that's what they were doing. Can you play a song? I don't even know the name of a song, but just play something.
You'd come outside and they'd fly away.
That sounds good.
Imagine hearing this live. I got off the plane.
I'd be standing there.
And I heard them harmonizing like this. Their harmonies are amazing.
Even though it's not your birthday. Keep
imagine
me
walking.
In mind.
What the hell is that? I thought it was an airport.
You're in a movie now.
Is that beautiful?
I see you just walking slow motion while everyone else is moving super fast around you.
Bro, the place slowed down. Listen to that. That's a great. I'm getting chills listening to it because I'm remembering the moment when I got off that plane. Place them round your crown. That's beautiful, bro. Stop that right there.
That took me to another place.
Yeah, and man, Gin Sisters, right? Yeah, I can't.
G-I-N-N.
And can you believe I still remember that name? And we're talking like 8 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bro. This is a true story.
I thought it was like last week or something.
No, this was like 8 years ago. Or maybe I'm making it up. Maybe it was 5 years ago. It was right when I was playing Nashville. It was like the first time I played Nashville. And I bought their CD. I never listened to it. I think I put it in my car. You know what I mean?
But you supported, though.
Yeah, yeah, man. Because it was like, that's that hustle, that grind.
Yeah.
And I was just like so impressed. It's like when someone wants something, you'll do anything to do it. You know what I mean? And like to take that gig at an airport in front of, like, I think it was the Southwest Terminal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like gate B-17.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even tell people that? Crushing, bro.
Right.
Usually when you take that gig, your musical wallpaper. You just, as people are walking.
That's exactly what it is.
Right. Like, that's what you got to be. So if you can grab people's attention.
Yeah. And they grabbed it, bro. Tell me, Dick. Like, is that your genre or no?
I like some country. That was beautiful. But
it's
beautiful. That's like what I was saying. Like, how many of those people are in Nashville? You've known about them for 5 years and no one knows about them.
Yeah.
They're
amazing. Right. Right.
That's what I'm seeing.
But so back to the point is.
Back to the point is, it's like, yo, I got Robin's stuff. You know what I mean? I bought your albums. You can check my iPhone. Robin, I got two albums. I don't know.
He's picking on Robin Thicke.
I'm not. It's not that I'm picking on Robin. It's just like,
what if you got off the plane and you heard that song?
That's funny.
Imagine walking into an executive like MCA Records and like, oh, this is the I wrote this song. I'm gonna sex your body, baby, babe. I'm gonna sex your body, babe.
It's a hit!
Sign them! Play the Gin Sisters one more time. Play the Gin Sisters one more time.
If they're the Thicke Sisters, they're the connection.
That's what you walk in.
This is great.
That's what you walk into an executive. I would bring the birds. Are you kidding me?
Dude, start a label.
We would sing a song. Crush it. Like you. Crush it. Listen to them. It's like they're one voice. That's literally kin right there. That's kin.
Yeah, you have to be related.
You got to be kin to do that.
Yeah.
Seriously, that, like, whenever it's family, when they're both singers, their harmonies are like, it's like it's like talking to them.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just organic.
They've been doing it since they were kids.
Since they were kids.
Like, yeah. So it's just happening. Like Casey and JoJo's harmonies. Right. It's just natural.
Right.
It just happens. Like, if JoJo starts singing, Casey knows exactly where to jump in. You know what I mean? And vice versa.
Tell them the lyrics. Like, they'll just know.
Yeah, they just know. He knows his brother. Just like this girl knows her sister. I mean, this girl knows her sister. It's like, dude, like, that's crazy I remember that name, huh? It's so funny, man. Like, this story came out of nowhere. And it's like, totally. Like, that was such a cool moment. Like, I remember, like, getting inspired by that. And it was also a throwback for me because I remember handing out my CDs out in front of Laugh Factory, you know what I mean? Or my DVDs. Yeah. And just like it humble yourself, man. And like what we were saying earlier, it's like when you have opportunity and you do have money, it's like, yeah, things may, yeah, Robin's talented or whatever, but I'm just saying his opportunities were a lot.
Great.
There's a lot more doors.
Look, I'm not going to deny that.
Let's just say he was in the mall of opportunities.
Yeah,
a mall. You know what I mean? Whereas the Gin Sisters are at like a boutique.
They're at a Southwest Airlines of opportunity.
And I hope to God, are they on iTunes or whatever?
Yeah, I wonder what. That's what I was.
I played
ask.
That off Spotify. They got two albums on there. So
everyone, and I don't even know these girls, man. And literally, it's been years since I even listened to that CD, but. If you like country, go buy these. Support these two women, man. They're amazing. Gin Sisters. I'll say it all day. But what we were getting back at is like when you're not when you're not blessed with opportunity and you don't have money, you have to be creative.
You have to be creative.
You have to tap onto your own resources. Whatever you have, next to you is what you're probably going to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be creative.
Yeah.
Like, mixing turntable. You know, like a turntablist. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't exist anymore.
That's a lost art.
There's literally cats now. God bless you. If you're making money, go do you. You went to Radio Shack and you picked up.
You got the Serato.
You got it. Boom. Now you're DJ Jimmy Johnson from usually he works daytime at AT&T, but at night he does weddings. Fine.
Right.
But it just sucks because that creativity, that little thing that God blessed you in the back of your mind to be able to do shit that you didn't know you could do is gone because Serato eliminated it from your brain. I'm not even joking.
No, that's,
have you ever seen World – you go watch these – yo, have you ever heard of DJ Qbert?
Yeah. Scratch Pickles, right?
Do you even know DJ
Qbert? I don't know DJ
Qbert. Come on, bro. Do you know how influential Filipinos are to hip-hop and music alone? Like, DJ Qbert is DJing. He can't even battle. Like, they won't even allow him.
Not even allow him.
He created so many. I'm not even joking, bro.
That's crazy.
Do you even know, have you ever seen Turntable? I'm sounding so nerdy.
No, I want to hear this.
I saw Qbert and I think the Scratch Pickles, I think.
Yes.
96.
Oh, you saw them at their apex.
In the Bay with...
Bay! Destroy the Bay!
With E-40.
Yes!
True story.
Bro, and you saw them live?
Live.
Beyond incredible.
Incredible.
Beyond incredible.
I don't even know what happens in these battles.
You have Qbert? Just play it. Do you have a battle? Do you have something from old school? Well, then just play something. Or here, let me introduce him first. Qbert, friend of mine, by the way, and the way I became a friend, he came to my show. Unannounced, without even buying, bought his own tickets, and he sat and came to my show.
Oh, crazy,
bro! You don't think I was like what? But like Qbert, okay. This is what Serato did to turntables, right? And I asked DJ, I asked Qbert about this, and it's just like, yo, when I was a kid, like when I was like 18 to like when before Serato,
right?
When you see these battlers. They had to bring crates of albums.
Yep.
You know, crates of albums. And these albums would give 60 pounds worth of vinyl. You know what I mean? And then you would see albums laid up, you know, cocked, you know what I mean? Because that was his set.
Yeah.
These albums went in a set. Now, in those albums were little pieces of tapes. Little pieces of tapes.
Yep.
Marked on the big label in the center. You know the big center? That big sticker? And different colored tapes. Were labeled on the inside of that circle. That's where he pulls the needle back.
For all their cues. That's their cues. Yeah.
Now, if you ever looked at a record with the grooves, it's just black, right?
Right.
So, and then you know where the circle, the sticker is, where the label, all the, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Right in the center. All that's telling that, all that line is telling him that this is the mark, but you need to find the line. And there's what, 10,000 lines on that damn album?
Yeah, just give you one axis.
So he has to grab the needle and exactly place it on the record visually, in a contest, without skipping, and go right to it.
Precise.
And go root, bro.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
But
and pull it back, and switch an album, pull it back, and get right back to that same cue. Bro,
that goes to the root of hip-hop and hip-hop music.
Yes.
Because... They had nothing,
and they
took old disco records and started spinning like that and started looping from record to record with two records.
Yep.
That created what we have now.
Yeah, that's from the economical standpoint of the family.
Exactly.
I don't have a band.
Right.
I don't have a bunch of instruments, but my dad has a Technique a record player,
right.
And he's got a bunch of James Brown records.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pull it back and play the same beat over and over and over again, and then we'll rap over it. Yeah. And that's how that all started.
There's a series on Netflix called The Get Down.
Yeah,
you got to watch that.
I don't know if you know this, Andre.
I do know
but
that.
I am the Get Down.
I do know, and guess what? I also know you got a special coming.
Yeah, I do. I do. Check this. See, can we play some Q-Bert? Let me play Q-Bert. Look, check this out. Play it.
This is a rap battle from Seattle. Or a battle from Seattle.
This is not... What year is this? I want something older.
The video was posted in 2007, is it?
How ill is this, though? How ill is this?
I love this.
You can't touch this, dude.
And look how he moves, just so natural. That's him right there, right now.
That's him with the hat. Wow. Yo, Nick, you gotta find some older battles. He's so dope, man. But that's Q-Bert. Like, it's just like, but then, but all those cats,
yeah,
all those cats back then, like, like people don't even know how dope Jazzy Jeff is.
Crazy.
Everyone thinks that Fresh Prince, you know, oh, it's Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff. Oh, really? He's a
DJ?
Couldn't
even get Hillary.
Bro, DJ Jazzy Jeff, that's to me is my number two DJ of all time.
Wow.
Have you ever seen him?
No.
Have you ever seen him do the Transformer scratch and all the scratches that he's created? Jazzy Jeff is the most influential scratcher ever. I can't even explain. I can't even put words together.
Yeah, dope, man. Like he wasn't like Fresh Prince wasn't even he wasn't even supposed to be the feature of,
yeah,
of that group. It was Jeff and his scratch.
Jeff is beyond he was amazing, just, bro.
Fresh Prince was just kind of like,
yeah,
added on just to add flavor to it. You know what I mean?
Jeff is the man. If you ever, anybody out there, you want to get down, go watch Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
He kills it, man. Kills it to this day.
Yeah.
What do you have? 1995. Yeah, play this.
World Championships.
Remember, this is no Serato. This is vinyl.
Yeah, these are actual records.
This is him. This is no monitor. This is a weighted needle on top of a turntable. Look, he's not even looking down at the album. Oh, this is DMC, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see the... Yeah. Look at that.
So
pulling it back right where it's supposed to be. Not using a computer laptop to find out where to pull it back.
You have to keep the beat.
Look, he's not even looking. Eyes completely closed, bro.
He knows every groove of that record.
They can't even do this now. They can't even do this. That's not Q-Bert right there. That's right. His partner.
Crazy.
Put Q-Bert back on. Here.
Which is a record.
This will.
No headphones.
I mean, you didn't know that? You never seen that?
Dude, I don't see that.
Like that's why these cats, like when I see these like these DJs, there's so many, and I'm just like, you guys, like and you know, they look at the monitor, you know what I mean? And then they got the thing where they know exactly where that beat is going to hit hard.
Yeah,
and
they see
and
the
they can pause it.
Yeah.
And dude, it's like, yo, really?
It's like you don't knock the hustle, but I would say be able to do both.
So you think like all
this. Yeah, and I asked Hubert. He was like, yo, I don't know. He goes, it's great for our art. Right. He's like, I'm glad this is happening because I use it now. He goes, I use it. He goes, but I still do vinyl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just the sound of vinyl is dope. Like, you can hear the different
sound. You can't recreate that. Like, nah, I mean, they have so many programs. Like, and you think, like, oh, we're doing this to help the art, but I don't know. It might be crippling it. Like,
But here's the thing. With Serato, did you see how Kubert was doing that? There's no monitor. It's a piece of tape where you have to pull it back. And then he's got to memorize each tape. Like, each piece of tape is a different scratch. It's a different sound. Get it? And it's a different section on that album. It's like... Like, it's phenomenal. It's like there's a piece in your brain that teaches you how to look at that album and where to put the needle and where it just takes repetition and practice and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's hours and hours.
Hours and hours.
Because he's handling the mix. He's doing some things on the mixer, too.
No, the mixer, his crossfade and all that. Yeah, that's over here, but still, the art is that vinyl. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, you have to pay attention to, like, everything in front of you. And, like, he's doing two different things with his hands and just having to.
Yeah. It's nuts, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And that's what I feel bad about. Like, maybe we're losing that, man. Like, how do we get back to that? How do we get to these cats being creative? Like, I feel like everything's thrown on their laps now, and it's just like,
Yeah, I know.
This is easy. Oh, I can make a movie tomorrow.
I mean, the only way is to hand down the culture. You know what I mean?
Like, I can make Star Wars 10 tonight. I got all the programs
on the iPhone. Yeah, that's true.
I just shot a whole movie on my iPhone 7. Ask me what it's called.
What's the name of your movie, man?
Jaws 5. It's amazing. I'm using real sharks.
The reboot.
Yeah, Jaws 5, the reboot. This one really eats motherfuckers.
I'd watch it.
I don't know. You know, I love what we have now.
Yeah.
I still need to tap into that. Maybe we all should just go back to old school mentality and use this new school technology. Maybe we should tweet that.
There you go.
Old school mentality with the new school technology. You know what I mean? We have all this opportunity, but it seems to be dumbing us down and not being too creative.
Right.
Even though we are creative, but I mean.
I mean, it's like you've said. I mean, promoting online is one thing.
Yeah.
But nothing beats a hand-to-hand, face-to-face, looking a guy in the eye like, hey, man, can you check my stuff out?
Hey, please.
You know what I mean?
Hey,
nothing beats that. Please. Please.
I got my special coming out March. I don't say the date, but March, and I'll make an announcement closer to the date. But the special looks good. It looks good. I wore all the hats.
Did you shoot it on iPhone?
I shot it all on my iPhone 7. I shot it on my iPhone 7, man. But it looks good, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Here's a little one of those words of wisdoms. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Chris?
Words of wisdom, yeah.
Yeah. When a bunch of people say no to you, show them why they should have said yes.
You might want to work on the delivery of that.
Let me do that one more time. When people tell you no, show them why they should have said yes.
There you go.
Because I could have easily just backed out and went, all right, you guys are right.
Yeah.
I'll just keep working the road till you guys give me that opportunity.
Right.
You know, I've just been doing it for 27 years, but you're right. Maybe it's not time. Yeah. Now, fuck that.
Yeah.
I got the money. Let's go.
Right.
You don't want to do it, then I'll shoot it. You don't want to produce it, then I'll produce it. You don't want to help light it, I'll get lighters.
Right.
I'll get some lighting guys. I'll even use real lighters.
Yeah.
You don't want to give me cameras, I'll rent my cameras. You can do it, man.
Yeah.
You can do it. Everyone can do it. I don't want to hear anyone say, why didn't it happen? Well, because you didn't make it happen. Stop looking at the TV and going, yo, why is that guy blowing up on TV? You know why? Because he's not sitting at home looking at a TV going, why is that guy blowing up on TV?
That's unless right. His dad was Alan Thicke.
Unless it's Alan Thicke's dad. And like I said, I wasn't hating on Robin. I was just talking about opportunity.
I know.
And I am part of Robin Thicke's success.
No, you got to seize them.
I'm going to say it one more time. I bought your albums, Robin. Go to my iTunes. I have a receipt.
Yeah?
I bought your albums.
I mean, the flip side of that is when you do have that kind of opportunity, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Look away from
look
it.
Look away?
Yeah.
And really struggle?
Get out of here,
hey, Dad,
man.
Fuck your money.
It's ridiculous.
Fuck your money, Dad.
That's ridiculous.
I'm going to do this shit on my own.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys who do that, right? Like who
Sky.
Sky did it.
Sky, yeah, Sky they did change it. Their last name, or they try to keep it a secret because they want.
Damon Wayans Jr. did it. Damon. No, I'm not joking. No, I'm being very serious.
His name's Damon Wayans Jr.
No,
though.
But when he started, that's after he blew up. But when he was on the road and opening for his dad, or when he was writing for his dad, or when he was just going up at the Laugh Factory as an up and comer, he wasn't going up as Damon. He wasn't even going up as Damon Jr. He wasn't saying that shit.
You know, anybody knows
it wasn't
that,
until he started honing his craft and being funny on his own and being his himself. Then he started saying, yeah, I'm a Wayans. Yeah, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
But when he was trying to do it, he went up as all kinds of names, man. And he's a perfect example. But that Wayans family is just a bunch of geniuses
anyway.
Yeah, they should just sell their sperm.
That's good breeding right there.
Just sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want talent? You want heart? It's all in this little vial. Wayans semen for sale right now. Give birth to a Wayans. Right. You want your kid to make it in this business without having an opportunity? Have a Wayans. Seriously, though, they are some talented. Yo, and Damon Wayans Jr. I love Damon Wayans Jr. He's so talented, man.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Yeah.
Obviously. That fool left a hit show to go do another hit show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's so good and talented. Anyways, I digress, I guess. No, or I went off.
Yeah.
But it was still good.
Yeah.
This was good.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Yeah, you're making it happen for yourself, making opportunities.
I know I say that a lot. I preach it a lot. But maybe let's just
people
go back.
Hear it a lot. Like it.
Yeah. We do need to hear it a lot. We got a lot of cats, and I fall victim to it. I scroll on that Instagram. I find myself doing that.
Yeah.
But I think we've lost that whole sitting back and writing something down on a piece of paper and being creative.
Yeah.
Just go back to that. You know what I mean? Yes, we do have all the opportunity in the world on our phones to do whatever we need to do, but just sit down, jot the things that you want to do, be creative and think of something crazy, and just do it. You know what I mean? Make it happen. I was watching Top Chef. I know this is totally opposite.
Okay.
This is totally opposite. Nick, do you watch Top Chef?
Yeah.
Me and my girl watch Top Chef.
I love Top Chef.
Do you love Top Chef?
Oh, man.
Well, the guy that's crushing it right now is Chef Sheldon, and he's Filipino.
He was my favorite in that season.
Yeah, and he's a great friend of mine.
I know. I saw a photo of you two, and I freaked out.
Yeah, he's and in fact, that's today. And you know what? Hold on. Let me see if, you know, what time is it in Hawaii right now? What time is it right now?
It's 10:35 a.m. right now.
What time do Hawaiians wake up? Right around four in the afternoon?
8:35.
Yeah, that's island time right there.
Yeah, right? That's what'd you say?
Island time.
That's island time, right? Yeah. They don't wake up until like 4:30, and then the whales wake up right around 6. So let's see something real quick. I'm gonna call Sheldon. Let me call him. Let's see if Sheldon
should we call him on.
Yeah, let's see. I've been calling him a lot lately. Let's see if he'll pick
up. Sheldon's awesome. He's like, he think he started as a dishwasher at this restaurant and then learned all his skills just watching the chefs and then just became an amazing chef doing that. He didn't go to school for it. He didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't watch that show. I don't watch cooking shows.
You don't?
No, I'm not.
You need to.
Oh, show. Man, Top Chef's so good.
Yeah. You need to.
Yeah. Padma.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's not picking up. I think he's still asleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still asleep.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. We'll do it next time. When he comes to L.A., let's bring him on the show.
Oh, man.
But
I'd love that.
Talk about creativity. This guy is amazing. So watch Top Chef. It's tonight. Every Thursday, right, is a new episode. Watch Sheldon. He's still on there, and he's crushing it. I don't know why I just did that, but I just
He's on it right now?
Yes.
Oh.
He's killing it. He hasn't been eliminated yet.
I remember he was on a few seasons ago, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Killed it
That's
then, too.
That's one that I know from.
Yeah, he's amazing. Hey, you guys. You know, I've been talking about True Car a lot. You know why? When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times this isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. Using TrueCar, you can easily find your car that you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car that you're looking for. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Yeah, he's amazing. So anyways, man, it's 10:37, and I think we crushed it today, Dre.
Yeah,
I
think so.
You ready for Valentine's Day? Nah. Black guys don't like Valentine's Day.
Not really Valentine's Day.
Is that racist to say that? Hey, you know what? I'm tired of doing racist stuff. Let's stop doing racist stuff.
All right, starting now.
Now.
Black people like chocolate? Damn it. I went right back into it again.
So this morning,
yeah,
I had a story to tell.
Okay, go.
So last night, I'm asleep and I'm dreaming, right?
Okay.
And I've been watching a lot of basketball. You know I played basketball and I've been watching a lot of basketball. So
yeah,
having this dream, I'm in a NCAA tournament. Ooh. Playing. I'm on the wing.
Ooh.
Go to the rack, right?
Yes.
And one.
Get an and foul. One. Yeah.
Come down, walk into the foul line, cramp. Ah.
Where?
In my leg.
Okay.
Wake up with the cramp.
You were really playing.
Wake up with the cramp.
You woke up with the cramp.
Woke up with the cramp, walking around the room like, oh my God, oh my God, my leg is cramping.
Oh my God.
So the moral of that story is,
yes,
dream big.
Dream big. Yeah. Dream big.
But be realistic.
But be realistic. Yeah. Make sure your dreams aren't as big as you. You know damn well you can't play in an NC2A tournament. Those kids are 20 years old, man, with your old-ass legs.
Funniest thing.
You know what I love about college basketball, Nick?
What's that?
Very fast. You know what I mean? Especially when you see the guys that, you know, the top two teams play, going at it. You know what I mean? Nothing better than a Villanova and Duke game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you watch these kids crush it. You know what I mean? And we all bet on it. Right. We're all betting on these mega men playing.
Right.
These guys are 6'6", dunking on each other, running the length of the court and passing it and pointing fingers and cursing.
Right.
And then one team loses and you see a bunch of them crying. You know why? Because he's 19.
Yeah.
And we forget that these are little boys, man.
Yeah.
And here we are, like, cheering and, like we're watching gladiators go out. No, man, they're still just little kids, man. And if you go to their locker, you're going to see Sour Patch Kids. You're going to see an Xbox controller. You're going to probably see a SpongeBob SquarePants backpack. These are kids. Yeah. And we always seem to forget that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just big, giant kids. But they're playing a kid's game.
And they're playing a kid's game.
And here we are screaming at them. Pointing at them,
yelling
at them.
Yeah.
There's fans that aren't Villanova fans and saying mean, hateful crap to these kids.
Yeah,
and that's what you got to remember. Yeah. They're just kids, man.
Yeah,
and basketball is just a game.
There's the kid in high school now, 15 years old, LaMelo Ball.
Saw they scored 92 points.
92. But
my thing is that online, you got grown men.
Yeah.
Like, just going in on this kid.
He's
a kid.
He's 15. Let me tell you all these grown men that are throwing out negative crap on this kid's captions.
Right.
Caption on his timeline. Right. What is that called? His comments. Let me tell you what this kid, what's his name again?
LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball scored 92 points in a game. There's only,
32 minutes.
32 minutes.
He scored 41 in the fourth quarter, which 41, is 8 minutes.
Which means he's scoring... Jesus, are you serious?
Yeah. And most of them were
twos. 5 points a minute.
5 points a minute, yeah.
He's scoring 5 points a minute. You know what? And I want to tell all these guys that are hating on this kid. This kid is only playing he's playing a game. Right. A game that he loves to play. Right. He wakes up and dreams about basketball. He's not even thinking about money, but he is, yeah. But he's not.
Right.
But get this. He also wants to play hide and seek. Just as bad. And that's what these men seem to forget.
Yes.
That a game of hide and seek is equally and more fun to this little kid that you're yelling at right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
So go spit your hate on someone else.
Exactly.
This is just a little kid.
Just a kid.
He'd rather be playing Xbox right now.
Yeah.
He'd rather be D Rose on his damn NBA 2, whatever it is.
Right. Right.
Because he's a kid. He's got posters in his room with thumbtacks. Slow down, brah.
Exactly.
Slow down in your Allstate cubicle. Sell insurance to go spit hate on some other motherfucker. Just because you didn't make it in basketball and now you're selling car insurance. Fuck you, man. Don't ever hate on a little kid's dream, man.
Right.
Fuck you.
I agree.
That's from my heart, bro. That's my black heart that I got from Holyfield.
Yeah, man, ruthless.
Don't ever hate on a kid. I hate that, man. I hate it. Like, I watch my son play basketball. And there's times where I just want to scream at the coach, like, put my son in. Or Joe, go over there and play D.
Right.
But it's just a game.
Yeah.
My son is just playing for fun.
Yeah.
He don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate those guys. I hate adults that do that shit.
And they strip the fun away.
They strip the fun away. You know what it is? It's just this. It's this indirect way of wishing they were still on the fucking court.
Right.
You'll never score 92 points, and you never did. Right. You can barely score two, and you're underneath the basket. Fuck you. Real talk, man.
That's real. That's
I know.
Real
I got. Though. I know. I got mean right there, but Jesus Christ, man, the kid's 15.
Yeah.
He's 15. He's borderline genius.
Yeah.
He scored 5 points. Gary, he scored 5 points a minute.
He's got another brother that's also on the high school team who was injured that game. He's already committed to UCLA. So you could potentially have three of these kids on the same team at some point.
What?
It's incredible.
They're beasts. And what better name could you have? Ball.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That, like, writes its own ad copy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like Tiger Woods.
Right.
Like when Tiger was 3 years old, you're like, wait, your name is Tiger Woods?
Right.
And you're a golfer?
Yeah.
And he lived up to his name? Same thing with this kid. Let's enjoy this moment.
Right.
I hate those dudes. I hate. Yo, we can't exist without haters. We can't.
Yeah.
Because without haters, you have nothing to judge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what we're talking about is adults.
Yeah. I know, you're an adult.
Hanging
on a child. Fuck you. Yeah. I know, I don't want to end my show like that, but you know what? I think everyone that's listening is not going to get offended by this curse word because they all probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Don't ever hate on a kid. Don't. Don't. Don't hate on a kid doing good. Hate on that kid if he was pulling out a gun and shooting out randomly for no reason.
Right.
Or stealing shit from a store.
Right.
Or picking fights with a smaller kid. Yeah, hate on that kid and fuck his parents. But you're going to hate on a kid that goes to a basketball camp probably every month of the year, just like your daughter, AJ?
Right.
And then you're going to hate on him for his success?
Yeah, he's gifted and works his ass off and you're mad.
Yo.
Yeah.
Go sleep in your own vomit. Look, Tempe, Arizona this weekend, February 10th through the 12th. Come see me. You know what I mean? Dallas, Texas, Addison Improv, February 17th through the 19th. Houston, Texas, 24th and 26th of February. And then I'm going to start slowing down in March, y'all. Vegas, Treasure Island, March 3rd. Go get your tickets at the Treasure Island or go to treasureisland.com or joecoy.com. And it's on, baby.
What's up, man?
On because March is a big month, and I'll make an announcement closer to the date where my special is going to be going. And it's I saw it, and it's amazing. Dre, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're so funny.
It's awesome,
you're
man.
So talented. And where can they go to see you, Dre?
At Drano, Drekno.
And then, of course, Chris Laxamana. Resume is his pod.
Yeah.
And of course, he produces everything over here at the Corolla Digital. You're awesome, man. Thanks for doing this.
You too, man.
And then Nick Davis.
Thanks, Joe.
It's a good day, you guys. I know I ended it on a negative note, but you know what? Fuck that dude. What's the name of that kid?
LaMelo Ball.
LaMelo Ball. Gin Sisters. Support. Support people that are living their dreams. And chase them. I love you guys. Bye. Red light fresh, new cologne on. Feeling so good.
your colors to my phone. Orange Kool-Aid, go good with Patron. Oh, no, hell no, boy. It's still my ringtone, free car wash. Had to clean up the Dodge. Get back when I can, just playing my part. Church folks had a fish fry. Mustard, hot sauce, light bread, and french fries. Love for the big guy. Hit the park, boys showing off the hot. Nappy Roots on the radio. And you know what about last night? Hit the pick three. Bought some Air Force Ones, four tall tees. Man, I love to be.